It's time for Let's Talk on WPPA, AM 1360, A106 FM, and on the web at WPPARadio.com. Stories making news, special guest interviews, your phone calls, and more. The views expressed on Let's Talk are not necessarily those of the management or staff of WPPA. Now, here's your host, Jay-Z.
Once again, not Jay-Z in the studio with you this morning on WPPA A106 FM, but I am joined by. Words are hard today.
Every Wednesday is.
I'm joined by some special guests. So with that, I'm going to turn things over to John Powers and all of our other wonderful guests in the studio. So take it away, gentlemen.
Well, I'm filling in for Jay-Z, and we wish him. I want to thank everybody out there who sent him well wishes on his medical journey. But it's JP, John Powers. I was asked to come in and interview today the Democrat people who would like to take charge in the city of Pottsville. My interest in this race is simply because I've lived here my whole life, almost 77 years, a couple years in between going to school, I was away. So as a lifelong resident, I want to know not only where we are, which many people know, but where we're going also and what your plans are. I'm proud to say I served every administration for the past 40 years. I'm presently on the Civil Service Commission, but I've served for many other groups. The words I've heard most in this campaign have been positive and progress. And I'm going to hold you guys to it. I'm going to let you introduce yourself in a moment, but I'm going to set some very quick ground rules. There will be no personal attacks, or I put Gracie to work and cut your mic. I'm asking you to cite facts and to speak to the future if you are elected. I think that's what we're here for. No recriminations of the past. Let's talk about the present and the future. And with that, I have the three candidates here on the Democrat side, mayor and council. I will ask them to briefly identify themselves by name and give a little bit of their background.
Good morning. I'm Andy Walyoung. I'm on the Democratic ticket for the city of Pottsville for the mayor. I am a current city councilman and have lived in the city of Pottsville for over 20 years now. I reside on Makatunga Street alongside my beautiful wife, Jennifer, our two kids, Addison and Ryan, and have been vested to my community since the beginning of me moving here.
Thank you, Andy.
Hi, my name is Tom Wood. I am currently serving on council. I'm seeking a reelection. I do live in Pottsville, obviously. I've lived in Pottsville for over 30 years. I'm married. We have three children. Two of my children live in the city. So I love the city. It's where I want to be, and I'm doing it for people of the city and my family, too. That's why I want to make the city a better place, a good place.
Thank you, Tom.
I'm Mike Weirs. I'm the current city controller. I've been in the county 38 years. The last 35, my wife and I have been here in Pottsville. I'm a veteran. I've worked in the private and public sector. And like my running mates, I want to continue Pottsville's growth and advancement.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. We're getting into some pertinent issues that I hear all the time from people in town. The first one to me is kind of personal. I serve on the Civil Service Commission. I believe the most short-staffed and overworked people in the city are our police department and our street department. I don't think they get enough credit for what they do being short-staffed. Do you guys have a plan to address finding other revenues that would help in hiring more people to put them on the street with the police for safety and to put on the street department to get done the repairs that obviously have to be taken care of?
I would like to speak on the part of that with the street department. One of the things that I proposed earlier this year for us to look into was to switch our street department into something more of a Department of Public Works. The reason being is so much of our resources that we use for the city and the talent that we have through our street department gets used to get through our day-to-day, help with blight in town, repair things that we need to have repaired in City Hall, our public buildings that we maintain. And a lot of those resources are talents that we could put to use to create income back for ourselves. So, for example, if we were to take a conservatorship over on a property, maybe we can have some of our guys do a little bit of that repair and put it back on the market ourselves and then create that revenue that we're able to create our own jobs in that way. I'd also like to see the money that's created by the street department get put back to the street department. Oftentimes, we are taking money from one authority to another. I shouldn't even say authority, from one department to another, and sharing those funds. That is something that needs to kind of change. We may get into that later of a different example, so I'll wait there. However, in this case, what I would like to see is if we go down the road and a piece of plywood falls off a blighted property and our guys stop because something was reported, hang it back on the side of that building, we could send a bill to that landlord for that labor that we provided. The same way with we hear a lot about cutting grass in the city for blighted properties. We send bills to those property owners, and sometimes we do get those bills back. Our tax office does a great job following up and sending those out. We need to continue that with the services we provide to people that may be slipping through the cracks. When we get that revenue back, it needs to go right back into that street department, and that could be easily turned into another employee or putting more money into our actual streets.
You mentioned blight. It continues to be a big topic in the city of Pottsville. There are neighborhoods, I will not point them out, I'm sure you've heard of it, that have fallen into such disrepair that people are worried from both sides. It has nothing to do with party. Can you specifically tell us what your plan is to address the blight that continues to cause such problems in the city, and how you will go about that?
I think we need to start by going after absentee landlords, without a doubt. Just touching real quickly here, when I drive into the city, or anyone drives into the city, and you're seeing buildings that look like that, it is a black eye as soon as you get into the city. It's just needs to change. So we need to go after absentee landlords. And if that's not working, we need to find an angle around this and take them over, which I think we're doing with quite a few of the properties and conservatorship, and take them over, clean them up, and make them an asset for the city. And we could tap onto revenue from them. That is, I think that would be one of the quickest ways to do it.
And to just elaborate on that, the other part is, and something that we're actively doing now, we have it advertised for hopefully the December meeting we hopefully can hire, is to get more support for our code enforcement office. Right now, we need to have that code enforcement is understaffed, and we need to help them drastically. Maybe that's also to revisit and to elaborate more on our third-party inspectors, and maybe even just use third-party agencies to assist with that. But I think that's a large part of it. We are a small city with big city problems, and our budget reflects that as well. So when we have so many buildings that have been left go because many a times it's family residences that were attached to somebody that just were never taken over for so long. The roof leaked and then the downhill spiral happened. So I think that's important to get the support where we need inside City Hall.
I'm one more quick. I just want to add, we want to set an example for other people coming into the city and saying, hey, we're not going to deal with this anymore. If you're not going to take care of this property, we're taking it back and we're going to capitalize on this, and it's just ridiculous the way people think they can do that with a building. Mm-hmm.
One thing I would pursue is to get people to take personal responsibility. That is the biggest issue. And I would see us try to have an awards program for property owners that bring their properties up out of blight or borderline blight, recognize them, give it positive reinforcement. Any property that is brought up out of blight in this program helps us avoid lengthy and costly litigation to tear it down and sell it.
The biggie, and I had it as a follow-up, I'm glad you went there, Tom, was, is it time to get that much tougher on people coming into this city?
Absolutely.
And the question I have, though, because it does get complicated, what have you researched that you can do legally? Very often it's easy to say, we're going to make it tough, but people understand, have to understand, there is a legal system you must deal with it.
It is. That is probably the toughest part of dealing with it right now, because we are, we do have a, quite a few buildings in conservatorship right now, which we are working toward securing them to the city. And we work with our solicitor. And obviously that's new to me, but it's not new to him. And he knows how to do it. And he's been working hard on those. And there are, I think we have like 8 properties right now that are we're working on right now.
Yeah, and to touch on that as well, the important part here is to not just say, hey, we're going to take you over for conservatorship. A lot of times what we found was a simple letter threatening that, something comes to light. This morning we had a wonderful meeting with a property owner downtown. I would like
Carlos Jack Mello, I think it's pronounced. He owns 313 West Market Street, the one with the scaffolding. He took Andy and I and Mayor Merceres inside the building. He showed us the progress he's made. Andy was in the building after the fire 5-6 years ago, and it was atrocious. He plans to have 10 apartments plus either a restaurant slash store on the front and the first floor.
So there's a perfect example where driving by, we thought, nothing's happening. I'm going to tell you, I was in there firsthand as a first responder on December 6th of 2020 when that fell through, and we shored it up to protect the public. It's unbelievable the progress that happened there, and that happened on his own. It takes time sometimes. That's a great example of doing our own investigation and say, let's find out what's happening there. The other part of that is a lot of times we found out that our solicitor sends a letter and it scares them enough to get going on something, to say, look, you better figure this out right now or we're going to end up taking this building legally from you and you're going to lose any asset that you may have had in it. And we found that that also kickstarts things. But it's also finding out what to do with them afterwards. It's also important to talk to the neighbors, talk to people that we can give them and have an asset to that neighborhood. How will that fix that neighborhood better off? Would it be more parking? Would it be a lot that we give them because we take the building down? Is it something that we can save and we save that and put it back on the tax bracket again? Because that's the most important part. It's great to provide jobs in the city, but it's important to provide a tax bracket that people live in this city. That's what's going to raise revenue dollars to go back to ensuring our public safety, like you spoke about before, and providing more police and providing a better street department. It's putting more people on the tax bracket. We want people to work here, but we really want them to live here.
But and the other part of that is we when you talked about finding out what's going on with the landlord, maybe they need help. Maybe they need, hey, give me, I need you to get me these things just to give me a jump here, because it's not cheap to fix these buildings. I can see where people could use a little bit of help and like, look, we'll give this to you. Like, but you know, you got to fix this building and give us some return on it. And I think that is, you know, coming in with a positive attitude and seeing I should get, you know, sometimes it gets us places.
Helping owners that can't maintain their property for one reason or another, helping them find someone to purchase the property from them and develop it is something we really need to look at.
You know, JP, it's exactly what Mike said. It's all about who you know, right? And one of the greatest parts about having this is we have a lot of people in the process that we meet and we know. And a lot of times, Tommy Whitaker is a great example. He'll get a phone call about something and say, give me a second. I have a guy. You know, I'll put you in touch with so-and-so. Maybe it's something, hey, ma'am, that is not our city tree. But here's an arborist that we use. Give him a call. He'll come out for me right away and help you out. Mm-hmm. People like that, too. You know, when we were on the campaign trail, the one day the lady's gutter was falling off, and she asked us, she's like, who do I call for this? And we helped her put it back up. But sometimes it's as simple as that, is just, you know, given that little bit and exactly what Mike said, who you know to help somebody out.
What are the things you're going to be facing? Pottsville currently has no city administrator. Could you as a team share your criteria for that position and be very specific? I know there's always, they say, oh, well, there's a job. Tell me what qualities you're looking for as far as qualifications and experience to fill that, because it is a big deal in Pottsville. You guys have part-time jobs. That's full-time. Right. What kind of qualifications and experience are you going to demand of the next city administrator?
Well, we are going to demand that they have experience in grant writing. That is one of the key components of the job right now. Obviously, to be able to run the city, connect it with the city itself, the physical building itself needs to be run too, but definitely grant writing is our number one priority. Someone who has a proven track record on doing, working in that area. Okay.
A second thing we want to make sure of, we hire someone who isn't just interested in a small portion of the city, but is going to give Main Street, Bunker Hill, Greenwood Hill, Forest Hills, Yorkville, Jalapa, the citizenry, the same consideration that they give Center Street.
One of the other biggest parts besides grant writing is definitely the fact that we have to take into account that 20 years ago, hiring a city administrator was a completely different job than it is today. The experience of having grant writing, government running, things of at a state level on how legislative things work, being under understand of what rooms we have to be in, who we need to talk to, how we need to go from where we're at now to the future of Pottsville. There are many communities that are around us that are in much worse ways, but there are many ones that are better than us. We need to learn from them and find out what are things they have done. Bring everybody into this picture and do it together. The biggest problem I think we have in Pottsville right now is that we are too divided. And anybody that comes in one way or another, it's either one side of the coin or the other. So we need to figure out how do we bring that, everybody tying, like Mr. Weir said, together into that picture, but also have the experience, like Mr. Wood said, that is going to be able to do that job effectively so we can get what we need for Pottsville on the day-to-day.
Okay, it kind of led into my next question here because you've touched on a little already. Do you have a plan to increase collaboration with, whether it be PADCO, Chamber of Commerce, county, state officials, to actively pursue those grants that you will tell this guy or woman, this is direction we want to go, because we've done research on this and we need funding to aid people in Pottsville, in the business community especially. The days of the old downtown are gone. They're not fully coming back. That can't happen. And this comes from a guy who danced at 7th and Market Street during the sesquicentennial. So it goes back a long time. That's not coming back. We can wish and hope and go, oh, I wish downtown was like it was. And that can't happen. Not in the present way. But it can be made better with small steps and big steps. How important and what kind of plan do you have to collaborate with all of those entities?
So one of the biggest things, and JP, your background and Mr. Wood's background can definitely relate to this, but how I put it is something that we were taught immediately in school for teaching. You have to find the needs of interest of your students. We have been listening since we've all been on council and since we've been on this campaign trail to everyone. That includes businesses downtown. That includes PADCO. That includes SEDCO. That includes the chamber. That includes the residences on the west side of town. We have heard everybody from one end of the topics to the other. We have heard people speak out at meetings. This is the most important thing to me. Everybody's needs and interests is different. The deal is to make them all the same value to bring us together. We have to be open-minded to any opportunity and understand that we need to educate ourselves in what that opportunity may mean and provide focus on the areas that matter and to put people in power that actually can deliver on those opportunities. We need to have a manager of the city, such as an administrator, that takes care of those. Maybe it's going to be that we need to have two people. Maybe it's a grant writer and a city administrator, because that's a big ask, right? So we need to do that. No matter what happens out of this election, no matter what comes out of all of the scenarios that are out there, we have to stay together after this. We have to come back to that table. One of the best lines I've heard in this from my grandfather, who used to say it all the time, we do not all have to sit at the same table, but we all have to eat. And that is important to remember. If you went the needs of interest of every person in the city, they are different. However, it is our job to navigate who and where has to be into those rooms that we can figure that out, because everybody needs to be a part of it. I need every person to be at that table with us. And we have to do it together. There's no doubt about it.
In June, the three of us spoke at the PADCO meeting. And all three of us said, we extend our hand to PADCO and everyone else. Let's work together. And we intend to maintain that stance. Now, the second thing I want to say is there are approximately 310 business licenses in this city. Only about 90 of them are on Center Street and two blocks up, two blocks down. Of that 310, I've spoken to a third of them this past summer. And they know that we've already extended our hand. You know, I went out there and I talked to Boyers. I talked to the businesses at Mill Creek. I talked to most of the downtown businesses. And they know that we will listen to them.
Hey, following up on what Mike's saying there, there are businesses out there. They know we're 100% for the business. We're 100% for everyone in the city. But there is a bit of a disconnect in the city, we believe. The disconnect with even the people or maybe businesses, like on how to use the city, how to connect with someone at the city. We're finding that there's just too many avenues. We need to streamline this, and we need to become more customer friendly, because, you know, we have people saying, oh, I talked to someone. Well, who did you talk to? I don't know. So things like that we need to look at, and we need to make it better. Yeah. I think that, once again, user friendly is what we need to be.
Yeah, and JP, I'd like to touch on it. I have no problem admitting a flaw in any system, and one of the biggest ones we certainly have at City Hall and with council is communication. How are we getting information to people? When we discover something, is that something the public should be made aware of immediately? How are we going to make them made aware? What is that way to do that? And that's something that the new city administrator is going to have to sit down with council and the employees of City Hall and figure that out. I often said a syllabus to the city would be a beautiful guide for everybody to say, hey, you open a business downtown, these are the people you need to talk to, because they're the experts. You need to put a shed in your backyard, these are the people you need to talk to. You need to talk to A, B, and C. Hey, you have a problem because the snowplow ripped off your mirror, this is the number you need to call. All of those things sometimes are a disconnect. And oftentimes people run into a street worker or run into a code enforcement officer or even stop in and see the secretary at City Hall and say, hey, I spoke to the city and they didn't do anything for me. Well, who did you talk to? What was that person's name? When was this? We don't have a very good track record of keeping track of those things and understanding when you were and not, because trust me, all of us would much rather follow up with these people and discuss those things rather than have them go to a head. And that falls along the same line of we need to be in that room together.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a short break. We'll bring Gracie's talented fingers to work here in going to commercial.
I will pay you a lot of money to never say that again. We'll be back on WPPA A106 FM.
Okay, we love the change of seasons, but the beauty of fall leads to the gnarly cold and snow. Be prepared. That's where Alpine Building Supply comes in. You see, without a plan of what you need to button up the house for the winter, it could cost you. The experts at Alpine Building Supply, Route 183, Schuylkill Haven, can help. They stock everything you need so you can sit and watch the seasons change. Ah, Alpine Building Supply, Route 183, Schuylkill Haven. Check out their Facebook page. Shop local and save.
We've all been there, faced with a physical setback. Whether you've suffered a sports injury that takes you out of the game, or your aches and pains are keeping you from doing what you love, we all want the same thing, to get your life back. Thankfully, you can trust the region's only nationally ranked orthopedic team to help get you there. At Lehigh Valley Orthopedic Institute, we turn setbacks into comebacks, one movement at a time. Lehigh Valley Orthopedic Institute. Comebacks begin here.
Okay, we love the change of seasons, but the beauty of fall leads to the gnarly cold and snow. Be prepared. That's where Alpine Building Supply comes in. You see, without a plan of what you need to button up the house for the winter, it could cost you. The experts at Alpine Building Supply, Route 183, Schuylkill Haven, can help. They stock everything you need so you can sit and watch the seasons change. Ah, Alpine Building Supply, Route 183, Schuylkill Haven. Check out their Facebook page. Shop local and save.
We are Mercy on a mission. Together we bring hope and healing.
Imagine living with a condition that could be cured by a simple surgery. But there's no hospital nearby, no trained surgeon, and no hope for treatment. This is the reality for millions of people across Africa and around the world. Mercy Ships changes that, bringing free, life-changing care to those who need it most.
There's no other ship in the world that has a cargo of hope and healing.
You see tangible change and, like, futures transformed. We leave people who've been healed, not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally.
Mercy Ships has delivered hope and healing to thousands, and there are so many more who need us. Learn more about our mission at mercyships.org.
For today, increasing clouds with highs into the mid-50s. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy with rain developing as lows fall to the lower 40s. For Thursday, periods of rain steady and heavy at times and windy with highs in the mid-50s. And for Friday, mostly cloudy and breezy with a few showers with highs near 50. With your future alert weather forecast, the meteorologist Logan Westrop on WPPA.
And we're... Okay, and now we're back on WPPA AM 1360. We are really excited to be talking today with the Democratic hopeful candidates for the 2025 election. So I'm going to hand it back to JP because you're doing such a good job.
And Tuesday is a big day. I will say this right now. Get out and vote. Don't be a keyboard warrior all day, all night long in anonymity. And then, God, I'm talking like the president. I said the word wrong. But anyway, don't do that. Get out and vote. You have the right to do it. It's something that many countries don't have. Get out and vote, regardless of who you're voting for. I'd like to go to another topic that is thrown around all the time, parking in the city of Pottsville, parking downtown, hot topic. Can you outline your plan? Because it's been all over the place since I was a kid here. Meters, and I don't even own a cell phone, let alone be able to do it with an app or whatever. Do you have a plan to make it more convenient and cost effective so that downtown becomes more attractive to people who want to stop and shop?
Yeah, and this is something I spoke about when I was on Step Up to the Mic and as well as, in the public. A parking authority is an important part of our downtown for a couple of reasons. We need to keep the areas in front of our businesses moving and active. We can't have people be stagnant or stuck there. And a lot of times even the police, our hands are tied with towing a vehicle or so on. If it's a registered vehicle that is plates that are not expired or any issues with that vehicle, it's not leaking fluid or a danger, a lot of times they can't do anything about it. So having metered parking and things are an animal. I often said the parking attendants or parking enforcement officers that work for the city of Pottsville nobody, it's not the most popular job on the block, right? I mean, who welcomes them and waves to them with their vest on and says, oh my gosh, you're the best ever. Please come down here and give me a ticket if you don't mind. You know, of course, it's a tough job, right? They're enforcing something. We do. I do believe there are changes that could be made. I'd like to have talks with the parking authority itself to see about some of this residential parking that once was metered that maybe we could switch back to and take away. Maybe it's not necessary in certain areas. And maybe be a little more friendly around the holidays, make sure there's better holiday parking, things of that nature to ensure that we're a little more consumer friendly. But I'd really like Mike Weirs to take the rest of this question because he is on the parking authority, mm-hmm. and he has done a great job with that.
Let me start off with something. When we had the ribbon cutting 4 years ago for the new Montunga deck, Senator Odgel was there. And in his speech, he said, if a community doesn't have a parking problem, they're not progressing. So the only real serious problem we have is the only way to get more parking is to tear something down. And we don't want to do that either. Now, we have two excellent parking garages. One, the Capitol, was just went through a three-year, three-phase restoration, which should guarantee us another 20 to 30 years of it at zero cost to the taxpayer. This was done without borrowing any money. So that does show a well-run program. And as I've said in other places, the authority has just been recognized as one of the best authorities in the country. And if you question it, come down to City Hall and we'll show you the plaque on the wall.
Okay. Yeah, obviously parking is always a hot topic. I believe we have a lot of parking in the city. Obviously, people don't want to walk, I guess, you know, and I don't want to walk. I want to have the closest spot. But if I'm going to another city, if we're going to dinner in a place, we usually park in the parking lots, and it's not cheap to park in any other city. So once again, like someone said earlier, you know, we're a small city with big city problems. Mm-hmm. Parking is a problem in every city, but we want to be customer friendly to our merchants without a doubt. We need our merchants. You know, every city does. We have opened the authority up to business owners downtown, and I believe we have at least one on board right now, which is great.
We have two business owners, one from the downtown and one from up near 12th Street.
Okay, good. So we have – it will open a channel to know what the residents need or the merchants need or the businesses downtown need, and that's what we're trying to do. Once again, come back to a user-friendly city.
I would like to say one other thing. If you go to Allentown, Reading, Mount Lebanon, any comparable city or larger, you're going to pay twice what we pay. And as for the parking enforcement officers, they're taught to be ambassadors of the city. They will go into a business and say, is that your car out there? It's about to get a ticket. Maybe you ain't want to put a quarter in. They remind people that if you put your flashers on, you get 15 minutes to run in, get your prescription, and come out. So we do try to be user-friendly to the city.
We need to look to the future and still take into consideration that there are people who still need meters, who still like to use a meter, but there's also another option, and we should do that, without a doubt. I use a quarter once in a while, but I never have a quarter, so there's my real problem.
Not another nap. Something that has, I think, arisen more in the past 2 years is the plight of the homeless in the city of Pottsville. And it's not just Pottsville, but it has become more of a topic around town. Have you, as candidates, discussed any kind of plan that would have possibly the city and local organizations collaborate in providing, whether it's food assistance or shelter. And on a personal note, and I'm a Catholic, I'm allowed to do this, I'm still outraged at what the Diocese of Allentown did taking away the soup kitchen. Is there some kind of plan that you guys have to collaborate with other organizations, perhaps to bring some of that much needed help back to those who are suffering?
I personally, this one hits me on a personal level because of the amount of time I've spent in the service of feeding people. I've been a part of a lot of great organizations and a lot of great people, including the Soup Kitchen of Pottsville, that have fed homeless people or people in need. I do not want to get into any national politics or anything, but right now, no matter what side of things you want to blame on, we are about to have a lot of people lose their SNAP benefits. We are have a lot of people go into issues with receiving food because of the shutdown. Also, Helping Harvest just released that they just got cut a huge load of their program and shutting down, I think it was 21 of their sites in Schuylkill County. That's also huge. You do not realize the amount of people that relied on that grocer to get that food. I'm telling you, when you're a part of those things and you have your eyes open to going, wow, a lot of people use that. There's still a lot of people that get food right here at Bearfield, across from Pottsville Provision. I think it's on a Wednesday, if I'm not sure. But, you know, it's big. The soup kitchen outraged me as well. I think that's a big part. If I had $1 million kind of saying, and we could come up with a way that it was funded and we could figure it out, I am 100% about bringing a soup kitchen back to the city of Pottsville. That is one of the biggest things that I see out there that we need to worry about, though. How do we pay for that? If we can, I'm all in, 100%. As far as the homeless, we do have a lot of great organizations that are in town. We just had Bob Alonge talk from Volunteers of Medicine at their last council meeting. Wonderful program where he is helping people to get medical care. We have the SMA, or Schuylkill Community Action, that's been helping people. We met with them, and we just helped them out with a lease in their building from the city of Pottsville that we've forgiven, that to allow them to work without that headache of a place. There are places and people that already have establishments in our area that do this. Feed a Friend, Meals on Wheels, is a great organization in our area. We need to put people in touch with those people in the time being until we can get something better established for our area. Because unfortunately, in my mind, that's where we're headed as a society, that we're going to continue to see more and more people in need.
We do have members of the city and the police officers. When there's a need out there, we do have them. They direct people to the services they need, whether it's a room for the night. I know the city has done that in many occasions. Or if you need some medical help, we do follow up on a lot of that stuff. And people in place to do it.
Well, we will go back to Gracie. Casey, Gracie.
We can't figure out this break thing, can we? Talk about communication. Anyway, with that, we'll take another quick break here on this morning's episode of Let's Talk Local, and we'll be back on WPPA A106.
If you could use some extra money, Wiener Iron and Metal is the place to go. Wiener Iron and Metal in Pottsville recycles cans, copper, stainless steel, radiators, iron, and light iron. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. For current pricing and any recycling questions, call 570-622-6543. Get paid for your recycling with Wiener Iron and Metal. 1056 Route 61, Pottsville. Online at wienermetals.com.
Here's a tale of Becky. Didn't know what to do with new meds prescribed and no real cost clue.
She squinted at prices. That can't be right. Then tapped GoodRx and saw the light.
She can get a deal. Book telehealth if she feel.
Learn about those meds without any stress. That one little app does all the rest. Even my horse downloaded it. Dang, save time and money on prescriptions.
Check GoodRx. GoodRx is not insurance.
Okay, I have to tell you. I was just looking on eBay, where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Millions of finds, each with a story. eBay. Things people love.
My husband is a veteran, and he was injured in the line of duty.
It happened while I was deployed to Iraq. We were stopped at a checkpoint, and then all of a sudden, there was a loud explosion. An IED detonated 3 feet from my face.
It was bad.
I remember thinking, who's going to take care of my wife and daughter?
We took care of each other, with a lot of help from DAV.
When America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I don't know what we would have done without them.
DAV was the voice that we didn't have.
Every year, DAV helps more than a million veterans like Jason get the life-changing support and benefits they've earned so they can achieve more victories.
It wasn't easy, but he never gave up.
My victory is knowing my disability doesn't define me.
He's an inspiration.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
I don't think anybody ever expects to hear that their child has cancer. It's always one of those things that happens to somebody else, but it definitely feels like your soul is sucked out of your body when they tell you that it's your baby. I knew that St. Jude was a children's hospital. I knew that no one ever received a bill from St. Jude, but I in no way understood how amazingly and completely they take care of their patients and their families. When we first got here, Hunter was in an incredible amount of pain, and St. Jude gave him the most superb care. Childhood cancer is devastating, but childhood cancer is beatable with St. Jude. To any of the donors, I would say bless you and thank you, because without the donors, St. Jude wouldn't be here.
Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
And we're back on Let's Talk Local here on WPPA. JP hosting a discussion with our Pottsville City Democratic candidates for this upcoming election. So, JP, take it away.
Well, we're nearing the end, and we've talked, and just an observation, and it's the compromise issue that I think has to be looked at every level of government. It has become so oppositional, right? Left, black, white, it's become so oppositional. And I want to throw this out, and I'm going to give you each an opportunity. But if elected, what do you bring to the table to ensure that reasonable programs will be considered without all the political vitriol? What is your take? So my question is, I'll give you about 2.5 minutes each to we'll start with the council members, to convince people why you. Why on Tuesday should they put that check mark first next to Tom Wood?
I'd like to say I'd like to consider myself to be a unifier. I know there are different people in the world. People are tend to be a divisive person. I'm not even sure if it's the word I want. Or a unifier. I consider myself to be a unifier. I bring people together. No matter how this, obviously I want to win. I'd like us all to win. But however it lands at City Hall, I will work with whoever is there. I will guarantee we will work together, we'll be unified, and we will get things done. And I'd like to say that about my counterparts here too. I think we live in a great city. I love our city. I think we have great things happening here. Sometimes people aren't seeing them the way we do, but there is so much happening in the city. And I hate it when people say things like, oh, Pottsville, why would you want, like, I can't think of any other city that I would want to live in, or not even city, town, borough, whatever it is. If someone said to me, you need to move tomorrow, I'm like, I don't know where I'd want to go because I think Pottsville is a great city. We have a lot of good things happening here. So I raise my children here. I live here. I'd like to retire here, and I want it to be a place I want to retire and where my grandchildren want to stay.
Well, thank you, Tom. Mike, another
for your consideration.
Person who is running for city council, now's your chance, my friend. Let them know why you.
I was a soldier, and that soldier's still in me. Soldiers are taught duty, honor, responsibility, purpose of mission. Our mission in Pottsville is to keep moving forward, to make it, as Tom said, a place where people want to come and live, stay here, and raise families. I've seen Pottsville for the past 35 years grow slowly, advance. I want to be part of that. I know that the three of us, plus the other members of council, and whether they are Democrat, independent, Republican, business, higher level politicians, we will work with them. We want to, because it's about making Pottsville better. And voters, we respectfully ask for you to vote for those of us working for Pottsville and keep us Pottsville strong.
Well, thank you, Mike. And now we turn to the mayoral candidate, Andy. It's your turn, buddy.
All right. Thanks, JP. So one of the things I have been very blessed with was growing up into the Walyoung family. My family has run deep into this community, from a great-grandfather who was the chief of police to my grandfather, Joe, who was a longtime businessman in town and a public servant through the church and through the fire company, through my uncle, my late Uncle John, and everybody in between. One of the greatest parts about that came to a conversation from somebody that spent most of their career at the Housing Authority, and they looked at me and said, during your process, I want you to remember something. And this is when I ran for council, and I never forgot it. The Walyoung family has always been present in our community. They said, whether it's St. John's, whether it's at work, whether it's at a fire call, whether it's on your best day or your worst day, we have always been present. I want to continue that. And I continued that when I was at City Hall. When I was requested to be somewhere, I was present. When I was asked to be at an opening for something, I was there. When we were brought to that table, even though it was hard sometimes to face the people that really despised things that happened in the past at City Hall or issues that came up that were controversial, I still was present. And I stood there representing my city and those voters that put me in office 2 years ago. I want to stand there again as your mayor. I want to stand with all of you and represent you to the best I know how. And the way in doing that was the way my family taught me, which was to just be present in your community, be fair to everyone, and at the end of the day, treat everyone with the same respect that you asked for. That is how we bring this community back. There was a video that circulated at the beginning of this of the 1970s of a downtown washout that they did through the fire department, and they cleaned the streets and cleaned up after a long winter. And I saw that video and everybody in it was happy, from the people handing out cookies and treats to the firemen and the downtown business owner and the residents there and all the guys washing the street down. And I felt that community through that video. And that's what I want to bring back for Pottsville. I want us all to say we all have problems. It's okay to tell them what they are, and it's okay to bring us back together.
The most important thing I see, especially in a small city, is the ability after an election to have elected officials come together and drop some of the animus that may have been out there during the campaign. But you also, you're running as individuals, but you also are a team. And all teams have shared goals, shared aims. Share with us now the team aims. I mean, you've all spoken very eloquently about your own involvement. I think it's important to say, okay, Here's our mission statement as a team, as a reason to vote for all three of us.
Well, I'd like to point out, and I know you said to not bring up a negative. Don't cut my mic. It's not one. We are one of the things that we have faced this year was a lot of negatives in City Hall. We had a city administrator retire. We had one step down. We had three mayors that had to take place and be instituted. We had council seats open. We had issues within our police department. We had issues with our street department. We've lost somebody through them, through a death, through injuries. We've had injuries inside City Hall in our staffing. There has been a lot for us to navigate. There is bad things about being in a current council seat and running for office, and there are good things. One of the good things I take is the fact that when the metal hit the meat, I stood by these two guys on council, Tom Wood and Mike Weirs. And at the end of the day, even though we didn't always agree and we didn't always have the same responses and we still were mad at each other for what we said or how we came about that solution or who we should be working with or who we shouldn't, we did that together. Because at the end of the day, we've always been and always will be working for Pottsville.
I would say we haven't had disagreements. We've had difference of opinion, and we've come together. As the rest of the members of council, we've weathered the storm all year, and we've shown that we're problem solvers. And nature and the universe has ways of throwing curveballs at you. And we're good at figuring out ways to hit those curveballs.
I agree with both of them. I would also like to reiterate the fact that we've worked together for all of these programs or all these problems that we dealt with. And we made mistakes, but we learned from our mistakes. And I think that is one of the most important aspects of our us being together. You make decisions. People who don't make mistakes usually don't make decisions either. So people who are doing things make mistakes, and you learn from them, and we move forward.
And that's exactly why we asked for the WWW vote on November 4th, and that's Walyoung, Wood, and Weirs.
There are so many issues, and we didn't even hit them all today, because we could get into some that I find trivial at times, and yet it causes a storm in the city. And yes, I purposely said a storm that changes things. And that becomes the biggest issue in the history of mankind as far as, is it going to rain? Is it not going to rain? Is there a football game in it? There are so many vital issues. And I can't thank you guys enough for coming in. And I'm going to give you a compliment. Again, I'm always up front. I spoke to these guys before we came on about I want it to be positive. I do not want anything personal. And I personally thank you for taking that higher road. It's a hard thing to do anymore because it doesn't matter if you burp or sneeze. Somebody's going to accuse you of something crazy on Facebook, and very often anonymously. So coming in and letting people hear your plans, not your moans and groans, not your recriminations, is refreshing. And we can't thank you enough for taking the time to do this.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity to give us that voice for the city of Pottsville. Something you touched on earlier, and I spoke to kids at the high school earlier this week, it is your vote. Your choice. Don't be influenced by anything by your own homework. Please make the decision out there and please come out to vote. It's very important that you exercise that.
Yes. Thank you for having us. And exactly. Go out and vote.
Yes. Get out and vote. Don't be a keyboard warrior. Get out and vote and actually take part. And listen again on Friday. The Republican candidates will be in with Chaz Hepler on Friday, and we will hear their positive words about progress. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Always love having guests in the studio. Again, you can hear these interviews. They will be posted on Monday on our website, WPPARadio.com.
WPPA Pottsville and translator W290DP Pottsville.